And please pray with me. Lord, Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Friday, as Glenn and I were driving back from our Thanksgiving holiday, visiting with my family in North Carolina, Dick Rasmussen called to inform me that Pastor Parham was sick and would not be able to lead our worship today. And, by the way, Dick says, since you're scheduled to be the liturgist anyway, could you lead the service? Oh, and also put something together for a message. Sure, no problem. I was driving. So, as I mentioned earlier, today is the beginning of the new liturgical year. Happy New Year. When we, or I, would have expected our scripture to be from the first chapter of Matthew, Jesus' lineage. This is all going through my mind while driving 80 miles an hour down the interstate. And I thought, yeah, easy peasy, no problem. Sure, I can do it, Dick. No worries. Then I get my hands on the bulletin for today and see the scripture is from Matthew 24 and a teaching on the end times. I wondered what God had in mind for us all today. So let's take a look together. Here's what he gave me. This teaching from Jesus is during the week between Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday has already occurred and the triumphal entry. And it's before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples and us as much as possible in those few days he has remaining on earth. He knows what lies ahead, but the disciples are still waiting for Jesus to overthrow the Romans and become the Jews' warrior king. So in today's scripture passage, Jesus is trying to teach his followers about the end of the age. Again, they are expecting Jesus to take control of Jerusalem soon and ease their troubled lives under Roman rule. They are not expecting that he is about to be killed and return to his heavenly Father. That's where their mindsets were. But Jesus wants his followers, for all times, to be watchful for his true triumphal return. But alas, about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So Jesus tells them and us to watch for the signs. And he gives them some examples: fig trees, workers in the field, a thief in the night, and remember Noah? So if you happen to have some fig trees in your yard, and I am only assuming that South Carolina figs are similar to Israeli figs, then you would know that when the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. And if there are leaves, it's a sign that there should also be figs on the tree. Then Jesus warns that two people will be working away in the field. One will be taken, the other left behind. Or for our time, it could be one is teaching school, one is taken, one is left behind. Or working in an office or a factory. Suddenly, someone is there by themselves. Or if you or I had known when the thief was coming to your house, you might have stayed awake all night with the shotgun in your lap, ready to protect your home and family. But we don't know the time or the date. In Noah's day, Noah was instructed to get ready and build a big boat. The people of that time didn't really even know flooding rain. But here was Noah building a big boat in the middle of the desert. Most people just went on about their business, eating, drinking, having weddings, receptions. They knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away. very suddenly. What are some other signs that we watch for in our daily lives? My grandfather frequently quoted, "Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning." Maybe you know this. "Red sky at night, sailors delight," meaning the red sky in the morning was a sign that rain was coming, and the red sky at night would be a beautiful day tomorrow. When I walk around my yard and find the first signs of life in my daffodil bulbs, it's a sign that spring is coming. In Sumter, when the dogwood trees begin to bud and show color, not only is spring not far away, but also Easter is on the way. And if you're an outdoorsy person, you recognize the sign that moss grows on the north side of a tree. And of course, during this Advent time, we are reminded that the wise men from Persia knew that the new star they saw in the sky was a sign that a king had been born. So they followed the star. Verse 44 tells us, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Are you ready? Are you watching the signs and going about God's work? I have been told there is no retirement in God's service. Just because you are older and believe you have done your time leading Sunday school, vacation Bible school, serving on council, or serving on a committee, or decorating the Chrismon tree, or any number of other things that need to be done for God, it doesn't mean you should not still serve and do these things. Your service may be in a different manner than when you were younger, but we are still called to be watchful and be about His service. I remember Mrs. Hazel Lee Hallman, when she was in her 90s, saying many times that she didn't know what God still had in mind for her, but she would be about His business until the good Lord took her home. And she was about doing His work and setting an example for me and for many others. Most of us have no idea what Miss Hazel Lee did for God on a regular basis. As to the end of the age, many of us may remember, especially us older folks, may remember the many times throughout the last decades that cult leaders would predict the end of the age, such as, "Here, drink this Kool-Aid, and you'll wake up in heaven." Or, "Come to Seattle and wait for Halley's Comet to go by and swoop us all into heaven." Now, these are not biblical signs or predictions. So Jesus tells us in this scripture passage that no one knows the day or hour, not even Jesus himself. He tells us, "Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." I've been taught in Bible studies that when we see "therefore" in Scripture, we need to look at why it's there for. Jesus tells us in this verse, "We also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." So He wants us to get ready for His coming. I read this quote by President Jimmy Carter. "We should live our lives as though Christ is coming this afternoon." Would you and I be doing something different later today if you knew He was coming this afternoon? Jesus also warns us that hard times are coming before His return, and we need to keep watch and continue to live for Him in an uncertain world. We see lots of things happening in our nation and our world that are alarming to us. We hear of wars and rumors of war, 24-hour news of death and destruction, mass murders, killings while on vacation, children being abducted from their homes, severe weather, including hurricanes, tornadoes, and flooding, unprecedented 5 to 7 feet of snow in Buffalo last weekend. But hard times don't need to surprise us. We just need to keep watchful, read and study God's word, worship regularly, give of our time, talents, and treasures, be about his work, and be prepared. Be watchful. But please remember this. God is sovereign. He is in control. He is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love for his people. And he knows the times and the seasons, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to believe on him. So, are you watching for his return? Are you aware of the signs that he's given us? Are you ready?